Everybody happy to be here? This is the best Sunday of the month, right? So I appreciate everybody here. Pastor asked me if I would bring a message for Sunday morning for 3 weeks, and you know, you never ask a preacher if they want to preach, and a teacher is the same way. So we're going to be looking at our theme for the year, as you see over here, is finish strong. And so I'm going to be looking at some words that we can use to help us finish strong as we go through. Now, you all know that I love eschatology, and most of the time my messages focus on that. So I'm going to include a little bit. But we're going to look at some other things also. So today I'm going to be looking at the word discernment. Next Sunday we'll be looking at the word lukewarm. And the following Sunday we're going to be looking at perseverance. So we're going to tie all of those together so that we can finish strong. All right? So, I'm glad you're all here this morning. Let's have a word of prayer before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for the ability to be in your house and study your word, Father. Whenever your word is broken, Father, you say that it doesn't come back empty. I just ask, Father, that you would move me aside and that your Holy Spirit would speak through me and use the words that he needs for everybody to hear. So we just thank you, Father, for everyone that's here this morning. Thank you also, Father, for the service that was on Friday, that it was such a blessing to everybody. We just thank you for that. Thank you for Roxanne's life. We just ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, discernment. How many here think you have good discernment? Well, I hope when we get done, there'll be more hands. You know, I looked up the word discernment, and it says the act or processing or possessing the act or processing of exhibiting keen insight and good judgment. Before I was saved, when I was growing up, some of the things we used to get involved in literally would be kind of weird. So people would say to me, "You don't have very good judgment." And I'd think about it for a while, and it's like, no, that's not right. I don't have any judgment, right? So we need to have, as we go through, as a Christian, we need to have good judgment and we have to have discernment. Now, when I was looking at the word, it became apparent to me that there's a couple different ways that we can look at discernment, meaning of the word. We discern things around us. When you get up in the morning and it's snowing and you look outside, you discern that it's snowing, all right? You drive down the road, you discern there's cars coming the other way. That's just the normal discernment that we do as we go through life, normal things. And then the other kind of discernment that is so important for a Christian is spiritual discernment. And without spiritual discernment, it's going to be a bumpy ride, more bumpy than normal. So in the last days, as we approach them, spiritual discernment is going to be more important than ever. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 5. Now, probably most of you have read this or maybe even memorized it. I have it memorized, but I always mix it all up, and so it's like I read it, so I get it all straight. But Paul said, know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Does anybody recognize perilous times? Are we living in perilous times? What would you say? All right. Men will be lovers of their own selves. Wow. Is there any narcissists around in our country today? Have you seen any? They'll be covetous. They'll be boasters. They'll be proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections. Wow, does that speak to the morning newspaper? Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady and high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And as I was going through there, I kind of looked at some of the politicians that we have in our country, and it seemed like they got about 10 out of 10. When you look at them, it's just amazing. So he says this is going to happen in the last days. So we say, okay, what does discernment have to do with all of that? Well, if you look at verses 6 and 7, he said, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins and led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So our discernment keeps us from doing that. If we're able to discern, if we're able to know, we're able to see, we will not fall into some of these traps. It is essential to have good discernment when we study eschatology, because there's a lot of things as we study the end times that have to do with all of this that I'm talking about, and we need to be able to discern it. And one of the things I think that discernment really does is it keeps us from doing newspaper exegesis, and that I think is extremely important, that we don't pick up the newspaper and try to push that what we're reading in the morning into prophecy. We need to be able to discern what's going on. We use that discernment to apply the prophecy to our day instead of the other way around. So it's extremely important. We'll see in Ephesians, if you want to turn there, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And this is probably one of the most important reasons we need to have spiritual discernment. He says, we wrestle not, and this is Paul teaching, of course, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, I remember way back when, I still can pull up a few things out of my mind. It had been not very long after I was saved, and a preacher preached on this passage, and it gave me goosebumps. I think we read this and we just read over it. It's like it goes in one ear and out the other. My dad used to say that went over like a lead balloon. I think when we look at that, if you really want to think about it, we are in a fierce battle and we don't realize it. Every day, if we could, and I always think the prophet, when his helper was complaining about all the people in the valley. He says, we're doomed. Look at all these folks. And prophet said, no, he says, there's more for us than there is against us. And he prayed that the eyes of this man would be spiritually opened so that he could see what was going on. And I think if our eyes were opened, probably we would never go out of our house again. You know, it's a dangerous place in the world, not because of what's around us here, but because of what we don't see. So it's important that we have spiritual discernment, that we're able to look at what's going on in the world and realize that we are in a battle. You know, it's something that we should always have on the tip of our tongue, that we're not fighting with flesh and blood, but we're fighting with people that have extreme power. And so it's ever more important that we let the Holy Spirit live in our life. You know, the Holy Spirit is what's holding back the evil in our world, and I believe that without any doubt. And if the Holy Spirit wasn't here, things would go south really quickly. So it's important to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. So when we talk about spiritual discernment, where in the world do we find it? Where do we find spiritual discernment? Anybody? Yeah, right there in that book. Yes. The Holy Spirit provides the insight. The Bible provides the message. And we study that and we learn that. Spiritual discernment is also available when we come here Sunday morning, whether it's to Sunday school or to preaching. It's important when you hear a pastor talking that you have spiritual discernment, because not all pastors are on the same page as the Lord. Right. Now, I won't push that any farther. You all know who some of them are today. We have a lot of them. You know, we had a church in Butte, and it had about 15 doors around the building, and every one of them was painted a different color. So if you drove up to there, you knew you were what kind of a message you were going to hear, right? So we need spiritual discernment to know who's teaching right and who's teaching wrong. And think of the Bereans. They used to go home and spend the afternoon after Sunday service. They'd go home and get the scripture out, and they wanted to find out if what the pastor said was real. And so that's the best thing in the world. When I used to teach in Butte, I told my class every Sunday, I said, you go home and look at what I've taught, and if you find something that is not scriptural, you tell me, because I want to know. I don't want to be guilty of teaching something that's not in this book. So we need that discernment to know every day what we're doing. When we study, when we read, when we attend a church service, we need to have discernment. The spiritual warfare that's going on around us is a cosmic battle, and it's waged in the spiritual world. But I can tell you for sure that it has real consequences in this world. All we have to do is look around. And I'll just throw out one that's so prevalent today, and that's abortion. If you don't think spiritual warfare affects this world, you're not on the right page. There are so many things that are developed in the spiritual realm that come to the world, and that's brought to us courtesy of Satan, right? So Paul teaches another reason for spiritual discernment. in 1 Timothy 4, 1, if you want to look, he says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." We don't hear much about that. I don't think that I've ever heard a pastor talk about or bring a message about seducing spirits or doctrines of devils. But it's very important. There's just a ton of things in the last days that we have to be aware of. And certainly seducing spirits and doctrines of demons are there. All right. So I go, well, what are seducing spirits? And I went and I tried to dig some of them up, and I just found a few. A seducing spirit refers to demonic influences that deceive and tempt into false beliefs, sin, or unwise choices. So, you know, we think about seducing spirits, we think, oh man, you know, that's something that's going to just jump out at me. You know, how many people think the devil has horns and a tail and carries a pitchfork? You know, every Halloween you see him running around the street. But that is a seducing spirit doesn't look like that. All right. They're associated with idolatry, heavily associated with idolatry, and false teachings that are aimed at turning people away from God. And when I say that they turn people away from God, that includes some of those who are sitting this morning in a church somewhere listening to somebody just like me teach heresy. So we have to remember that. All supernatural guidance and teachings should be evaluated against Scripture. We read in Revelation in several places where the Antichrist and the false prophet are given power to do miracles. So if you were alive in that time, those of us that are believers are going to be gone when the tribulation starts. But if you were here, you would look at these folks and think they're extremely religious because they can do miracles, right? So we think that that's only for the end times and tribulation. Do you suppose that Satan and his demons can accomplish miracles today? I think that if we don't answer that correctly, we probably don't have the spiritual discernment that we need. Right. All right, so all these supernatural things that go on have consequences in our world. So spiritual discernment, prayer, and Bible knowledge help us detect and resist seducing spirits. You know, I'm sure Brother Martinez could talk about some of the spirits that probably are running around in some of the South American countries, some of the places where they actually encourage that sort of behavior. We have it more and more in our United States today. Satan worshipers, people that are now creating clubs in schools to promote Satanism. So if you don't think that what's going on in the spiritual world has an effect in the material world where we are, you're on the wrong page. It is extremely influential, especially as we get closer to the end times. You're going to see it more and more. So stay alert and sober. Sober-minded, I guess I should say, and submitted to God protects us from falling into these traps. You've heard our pastor preach many, many times and about staying close to God. I used to tell Sunday school class, I said, you know, when your kids were little, they just used to love to come up and sit on Dad's foot and hang on to his leg, and then you got to walk them around the house. Did you ever do that? You know, they all thought that was really cool. Well, we as children of God need to do the same thing. We need to be hanging on to Jesus' leg, sitting on his foot, so that wherever he goes, we go with him. All right? Extremely important as we approach last days. So, staying alert, watchful, those are things so that we need to be aware of that go on around us. So then I thought, okay, what about doctrines of demons? So the doctrines of demons, I guess I should back up and say, what is a doctrine? Does anybody here this morning have a doctrine that you believe in? Come on, everybody has a doctrine or you wouldn't be here. You know, I'm a Baptist because I like Baptist doctrine, right? Our doctrine is what we believe. It's what we teach. It's what we run by, right? So doctrines can either be good or bad. Now, if I'm up here espousing Baptist doctrine, would you say that's good or bad? I hope everybody, generally Baptist doctrine is pretty well associated with the Word of God. I always used to tell people my first pastor was named John, and he was the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Galilee. That's where our doctrine come from. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So, you know, our doctrine is important. So there's good doctrine and bad doctrine. I hear some of these TV preachers, especially ones that talk about the prosperity gospel. Has anybody heard about the prosperity gospel? Two Mercedes in every car, in every garage, and yada, yada, yada. So there's some doctrines that are probably not really good for us. I don't buy into that doctrine, but there are many people that do. And some of those preachers have 15, 20,000 members in their church. So there's got to be a lot of deception out there. So doctrines, they're delivered through human instructors, such as your pastor, Sunday school teachers, whatever else, small group leaders. And if they're bad doctrines, they come through hypocritical liars, false teachers. Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:2, if you want to look at that, 1 Timothy 4:2, he said, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And then most of us never really go past that verse. But in verse 3, he says, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Have you ever heard of a doctrine of not marrying and not eating meat? I won't take that any farther, but you probably know where it is. Paul says that's hypocrisy. That's not correct. So you see, this is where our discernment comes in. We have to be able to discern what's real and what is not real, what is biblical and what is not biblical. Just because a whole denomination of 15 million or 20 million or whatever say this is the way it is, that doesn't necessarily mean the way it is, right? I used to I used to laugh, and you know, I have a lot of life lessons because I guess because I've been around for a while, but some of my life lessons apply to Scripture. And so I used to, when I'd give a life lesson, I'd say, now this is the gospel according to Hewitt. But in all, that's a, you know, it's a joke, but in all reality, it doesn't matter what any of us think or believe. Is that not correct? It's what Jesus said and what God said and what the Holy Spirit teaches us, which is correct. So I can have all kinds of beliefs. We had a exchange student from Spain when we lived in Spokane many years ago, and she was come from Madrid and extremely wealthy parents, and so here she comes to live with me, you know, one step away from the poor farm, and being around Spokane for a while, finally she come to us one day and she said, this is like the end of the world. And I said, oh, no, 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 Spokane's not the end of the world. But I says, if we go out in the street and we look to the east, you can see the end of the world. We're close. Doesn't matter what we believe, right? Just because we think this is the end of the world, it doesn't necessarily mean that. So we have to be extremely careful about what we follow. The false teachers that are out there, they can be personable, charming, persuasive, have all those things. I remember a president we had that had all of those things. And when I looked at him, he looked like Satan. I don't know. Just saying. Don't quote me on that. So the media context of this gives us an idea of the teachings to look out for. Those things that people demand of us to do. Whenever, you know, Paul says we're free. Now, in that freedom comes responsibility. We are free to do whatever we want to do. We can eat meat that's offered to idols. We can do this. We can do that. But Paul says it's all with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So we have to, if we don't have the discernment to be able to understand what we are allowed to do or not to do, we get in trouble. So false teaching should be rejected. We know that, I won't ask, we know the very first false teaching. Where did the very first false teacher come from? The very first. Yeah, it was a snake in the garden, right? And what did he do? He went to Eve and cast some doubt on God's word. Is there anybody around in our world today that's casting doubt on God's word? All you need to do is pick up the newspaper, turn the radio on, right? Casting doubt on God's word. Now, Satan didn't just stop there, all right? He didn't just stop there. What did he do next? He interjected his belief for God's. Did God really say, no, he says, you won't really die? There's the story, right? There's the story. Was Eve very discerning? Was Adam very discerning? We always like to blame Eve. Adam should have ran like a jackrabbit. You know, he should have just said, man, you're in this one by yourself. I'm out of here. Right? No, he didn't do that. He didn't do that. Did he have discernment? He did not have discernment. So we have to be careful. Satan is going to throw us everything that he has. I remember a pastor told me, he says, don't listen to these people that tell you that when you get saved, it's going to be an easy road. He says, when you get saved, you're going to have a target painted on your back. So the first thing I did when I got home, I took my shirt off. I wanted to see if I had a target on my back, right? We do. As soon as you're saved, you become trouble for Satan. He doesn't want you saved. So he's going to do everything in his power, including false doctrines, false teaching, hypocrisy, people that come into the church and divide it. All these are ways that Satan is going to try to trip you up. Have you ever felt tripped up by Satan? Come on now. He's thrown me a couple of hard balls. We all get them. The closer we stay to Christ, he will fend those for us. You know, he's the catcher. He'll jump in front of us and catch the ball. Say, now there, how's that? That's good. I wasn't going to swing at that one anyway. So Satan knows how to manipulate us. How many years has Satan had to figure out human nature? Depends on whether you believe in the young earth or old earth, right? Could be 5.5 billion years, but really it's probably around 6,000. But in 6,000 years, he has learned how to pull Bill Hewitt around by the nose sometimes. So you can put your name in there if you want, but he knows how to manipulate us. He knows what our failings are. He knows where we fall down. He knows that what bothers Brother John doesn't bother me, and vice versa. He knows everything about us. He knows more about me than I do, and that is the truth. So he's a deadly adversary. Discernment is extremely important. So doctrines of demons, we can avoid them and identify them by immersing ourselves in the truth. Where do we find the truth, right? Where do we find the truth? You know, I was telling somebody the other day, I don't remember who it was I was talking to, and I said, there's no truth in the world anymore. You can't believe what you see. And with AI, it's getting even worse. I was online a couple days ago, and I was reading about an app that is out there today that school kids are getting a hold of, where they can take a picture of someone they know, run it through this app, and the person comes out with no clothes on. So you can imagine what that is doing to school-aged kids. It's just the end of this whole thing is, I don't know where it's going. But when we talk about truth, you can't believe anything that you see, and certainly not anything that you hear. And as artificial intelligence gets farther and farther along, I'm not even so sure when you look in the mirror you're going to be able to say, do I know who you are? So it's getting extremely important that we stay connected to God. We got to stay close. All right. So as we approach what I feel is the end of this dispensation, it's profoundly important to be a discerner of everything going on in this dimension, but also in the spiritual dimension as well. We have to be discerners. Paul gives us an idea in Ephesians, when he says, put on the armor of God. I think that's the only thing that's going to save us as we go forward before the rapture comes. You know, every night when I go to bed, when I finish my prayers, I always say Maranatha. Does anybody know what Maranatha means? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That was the sign that the early Christians in Jerusalem responded to each other with, Maranatha. You can find it in Scripture. So thank you for your attention. It's time to get out of here. So let's have a word of prayer before we go. Dear Holy Father, I just ask that this information that I shared, Father, and the Holy Spirit would bless someone today, give them the ability to discern what's going on in their life and to see that. We thank you for Jesus and his blood, Father, so much. Thank you for his sacrifice on the cross, that his blood covers my sin. When you look at me, you see the righteousness of Christ. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, Father. Be with Jason as he prepares to give us a message this morning. Father, all this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.